You can't have prosperity with stolen land. Period.
Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on, my lord? Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on?
See, I gotta draw a line, I can't take it no more. If you ain't down with revolution, what you waiting for? Making money for suckers and not communities poor. Ripping flags off of coffers, man, this ain't our war. Colonized and terrorized by the world's biggest killers. The US government, the biggest weapon and drug dealers. Filling prisons with children, incarcerating the future. MySpace and Facebook got us stuck on computers. Stuck on stupid bumping music that's abusive to the shorties. And the nonsense that you're spitting, they just listening, absorbing. I've been dormant, I've been working. I'm a giant, I'm ready. I'm with the Apple in Oaxaca and we hold the machetes. I rock hard like Palestinian children holding slingshots. I'm with every single kid that's down for hip-hop. For the culture, the life, what it really stands for. This music is resistance, it's the voice of the poor. I'm on the side of the work cause the teachers and lunch ladies. On the streets with brown mommies raising our brown babies. I'm with youth organizers cleaning up the Bronx River. I'm like Jaime Escalante when I stand and deliver. I'm with Evo Morales, man, he running Bolivia. Distribution of the land so we can all live bigger. I'm with Hugo and Fidel, Grandmaster and Melly Mel. I'm with the Panthers up in Queens, justice for Sean Bell. I'm with Camacho Negron, I'm with Ojeda Rios. Freedom for Oscar López, time to get an appeal. I'm with a blue Jamal, I'm with a side of Shakur. I'm with the compas in the mall, got he getting a penny more. Exposing the lies, thinking about the dead soldiers when you drive and you ride. When people die for the war, and Daddy Bush's revenge. I'm with the widows, the children, and the lonely best friends. I'm for families staying together as one. I'm not for the raids and the deportations. I'm with Victor Toro and the MIR. So watch out for them snitches in their unmarked car. And for Lil Saulito, we gon' fight for your moms. So we gon' shout her out twice in one soul. I'm for 12 million workers and then Vida Ariano. For a world without borders and a better tomorrow.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Houston Indie Media Show. You're going to hear voices from all over tonight, starting with right here in Houston. Last Saturday, June 30th, was the National Day of Action to End Family Separation. Activists in Houston took the streets and marched from City Hall to Senator Ted Cruz's office to demand an end to the inhumane immigration policies that are ripping families apart. From there, we met back at City Hall for Black Lives Matter Houston's March for Human Rights. After the speakers, activists took the Houston streets again as we marched to 419 Emancipation Boulevard, where the old Star of Hope building is located, and what is now the proposed site for the new concentration camp for children. The company responsible is Southwest Key Enterprises, one of the largest builders of, quote, detention centers, which are now being appropriately called child concentration camps and baby jails. So we start off tonight's show with a song for the children, sung by Mariposa. Then you'll hear audio from some of the speakers at the Black Lives Matter March for Human Rights.
I'm I'm here for Antoine Rose Jr., who was just killed last week. He was shot in the back, a 17-year-old child. I'm here for everyone who can't fight anymore. I'm here for my undocumented friends who are scared to come here. I'm here for everyone who is scared, who feels like there'll be consequences if they fight for what is right. I'm here for everyone who believes in change. And until all of us are free, none of us are free. No one is illegal on stolen land. We're coming for everyone in office. We're coming for Trump. We're coming for Rafael Cruz, not Ted. And everyone who believes that we don't deserve a chance to be free, we're coming for you, and come November, you won't be here anymore.
I know you guys have already heard me speak. I'm here for just a brief moment this time. And let me explain why. Last weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we were protesting that detention center. We were protesting that detention center on Emancipation Boulevard. How hypocritical is that? And we were coming back out on Tuesday, but you know what happened in the morning? SCOTUS sent down a Muslim ban decision. SCOTUS sent down a Muslim ban decision, and don't think that was a coincidence. Don't think that these divisive acts are a coincidence. They are trying to divide us. They are trying to separate us. They don't understand that we know this is all of our fight. Black lives matter, brown lives matter. These children that are being separated, these are our children. We have to stand up for them. Else. This conversation that's been going on about Muslims going back to their own land, let me tell you something.
I've said it so many times.
The first Muslims that were on this land were brought here as slaves. There is Muslim blood, sweat, and tears in this soil. Don't tell me they don't belong here. Don't tell me these families don't belong here. Don't tell me anybody seeking asylum does not belong here. This is the land of the persecuted.
Surrounding us, it is unstoppable. There you go.
Yes. Hello, y'all. Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
So I just want to say that I saw a quote, and I'm going to paraphrase because I can't remember everything, but it said to be woke is to be in a constant outrage.
Yes,
ma'am. Yes, by James Baldwin. Y'all, I am pissed off that you even have to do this. Especially in this heat, because it's Houston. I'm so angry at the fact that I have to take pictures of my brother every day before he leaves, just in case. I have to update the pictures every day, just in case. Then I have to beg my mom to buy him a cell phone, just in case. Then I had to buy the phone out of my own money, just in case, because I don't know. It's not a guarantee that he'll come home after school or after basketball practice or after wherever he goes. So I have to constantly be on the lookout for him. And just like I'm on the lookout for my brother, I'm on the lookout for y'all's brothers and y'all's sisters. And I want y'all to do the same for me. Just be on the lookout.
This next interview is by Nick Cooper. He's talking to Randy Callinan, attorney for the Hernandez family. In June of 2017, John Hernandez was murdered by former Harris County Sheriff's Deputy Shauna Thompson and her husband Terry Thompson. They choked him to death, and it was all caught on camera. But, as it goes in this f***ed up country, a mistrial was declared last month in the murder trial of Terry Thompson. Harris County District Attorney Kim Ogg has said he will be retried.
Okay, so what happened with this mistrial?
The jury could not come to a decision on Saturday night after 29 hours of deliberation. A couple things. The prosecution, in some ways, was at a disadvantage because they only had 2 months to prepare for trial because the original assistant district attorneys on the case, which included David Mitchum, who is at the top in the district attorney's office, accidentally saw some document which he should not have been able to see because the sheriff's office accidentally sent them to him. Therefore, he was disqualified from trying the case, and two new district attorneys had to jump on board on a murder trial and had to prepare for it in 2 months, but it's generally unheard of. Furthermore, to complicate matters, these new district attorneys were not even allowed to talk to David Mitchum or anybody else who had seen these documents. So they were at a big disadvantage when it came to trial time.
Yeah. What's next?
Well, we're looking for a retrial, and I believe it should happen because generally in the murder cases, they just don't usually have one trial if there's a mistrial. They have at least two, sometimes three.
Anything else people should know about it?
It's unfortunate that a person caught on video strangling someone to death cannot even be convicted of criminally negligent homicide, let alone murder. And I hope that one day in the near future, John Hernandez will get justice.
Here is Vanessa, who's up in the Appalachian Mountains, fighting in so-called Virginia, West Virginia, and North Carolina against the Mountain Valley Pipeline, also known as the MVP Pipeline, and the Atlantic Coast Pipeline.
Everywhere you look, you can walk and pick up arrowheads and pipes and axe heads. This is an ancient village. There are multiple burial sites that have been pointed out, and the pipeline company is going through it. I do know that the Monacan tribe has spoken out very strongly, and they are a federally recognized tribe against the pipeline company, but they have largely been ignored. The Cheyenne River Sioux tribe has got involved, and they have been ignored.
So I know that the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has already given EQT Corporation, which is the company building Mountain Valley Pipeline, they've already given them 3 extensions to finish cutting down the trees that they need to cut down. And I guess the reason that they need to do it within a certain time is because it endangers the habitat of a endangered species of bats in that area.
And also birds of prey. And also the there's a perch that is spawning, and FERC just keeps ignoring the deadline dates. And what the pipeline company has used, what MVP has used, is that because of the tree sits, it impeded their progress and it slowed them down. Therefore, they should have the right to go ahead and cut, and it doesn't matter what they destroy, what migratory habitat they destroy, or what's going on. So FERC is flawed. There is no rhyme or reason. It's basically when Trump got in office and he made these pipelines priority and he told every regulatory agency to work for them and with them and make this happen, and that's exactly what they're doing. So it's not just that they don't care about people. They don't care about the environment. They don't care about endangered species. They just don't care. What they care about is lining their pockets and that of their shareholders. So, and there are loggerhead, I believe, I'm trying to think of their exact name of the perch, but there's also a very specific little fish called candy darter. There's, and where they are cutting, it's already been proven that once they cut down the trees, because that's part of an ecosystem, so those trees hang over. They make it cool so that the trout can be in the streams, and it's been proven that this is going to affect the species of animals. But FERC doesn't care. DEQ doesn't care. No one seems to care that this is happening. They just keep giving them extensions.
So what do you, what do you think is going to happen by the end of July? Do you think they're going to be done? I read that they only need to cut down 0.31 more acres, so like a third of an acre.
Yeah.
Do you think that they will get that done?
I don't think they pushed hard that they needed to finish this by March the 31st. That didn't happen. So the whole premise of taking early entry onto private lands, because remember, a lot of these people have not received a single dime. not a single dime from MVP. But what they said was they had to have this cut by March the 31st. If it was not cut by March the 31st, they would not be able to complete their pipeline in time. It would throw them off. So now they're using, oh, the tree sit slowed us down, so therefore we should continue. It doesn't matter. The timeline doesn't matter. They're just, it's a thump in the face of the resistance. They're like, it doesn't matter what you do, we're just going to keep building. It's just a crooked system, and people don't matter. The planet doesn't matter. The water doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Is corporate greed. So right now, there is still very strong resistance to the pipeline, and there are many court cases pending at this time. There are multiple sites of resistance and people standing up and yelling back. What the people of Houston can do is start putting pressure on FERC to change their laws and change the way they do things. Also, just pay attention. There are excellent sites out there who are in support, NOACP, at Voices, Appalachian Voices, Friends of Floyd. You look online and you can just find multiple sites to go to, offer words of encouragement, write letters, just speak out, keep sharing the story, because what's happening in Virginia, West Virginia, and North Carolina is an atrocity, and it needs to be stopped. So if they want to come and stand in resistance, we'd love to have them. Beautiful country. Well, except for where the pipeline has already destroyed so much pristine and beautiful land.
Thank you so much. Vanessa, is there anything that you want to add that we haven't had a chance to talk about?
Yes. We're still here. We're still fighting. We're still standing. And there are multiple people who are Standing Rock. Those seeds that were spawned from that movement are here. When that ended, many people came out to offer solidarity to the people of West Virginia, Virginia, and North Carolina. And you know, we need to remember that at the end of the day, you can't drink oil. You can drink water, and we need to keep it as clean as possible, not just for us, but for the next seven generations. It's our responsibility to do that.
Here is Juan Mancias, an elder of the Carrizo Comecrudo tribe of Texas.
This ground is sacred, and it was sacred before they put the mission on there. And we have to be aware of that, because the people that lived here, you know, my ancestors, ran all along the river here, on both sides of the river. And then they laid that border on us. We fought against that border, you know, when the Badlands were open, you know, when they were fighting for the Nueces. Mexico wanted the Nueces, and Texas wanted the United States wanted the Rio Grande. We fought with the Texans to get the border further into Mexico, into Rio Grande. But none of that's documented, because nobody ever asked us about it. But Antonio Zapata was a Carrizo man who died and is beheaded, and his head was put on a stick, on his lance, in front of his house in Guerrero Viejo. And he led 300 of the Carrizos. And so the Carrizos have been here for this long. We ran with the Kickapoo. We ran. I mean, all this is documented. And we ran with the Comanche, and they know this. I mean, the Kiowa used to call us the Barefoot People. So, I mean, they came here for one reason, and that was because they were running away from all that was happening over there, until Texas decided they didn't want any Indians in Texas. So they started moving them into the reservations, and it started, you know, that's what, you know, the North had Custer, you know, and they had the 7th Cavalry. Well, we had McKenzie and the 4th Cavalry here. You know, people don't know that he went into Mexico without permission of the Mexican government and attacked the Kickapoo village of Carrizos and Dipans, and brought all those men and women back and killed 9 youngsters who tried to defend the village while the men were in a peace treaty conference in Monterrey, Mexico. See, this is a kind of and excuse the language, but chicken that goes on with these guys, you know. they do something over here because they don't want you to see what's going on over here. And they drove all those men and women and old men and old women and mothers and children from over there all the way to Mexico, all the way to San Antonio in the middle of May, you know, and put them in a corral at the Alamo. See, nobody knows these things because nobody cares, because it's about the native people. It's about having native blood of this land, being a native original person of Texas. And so nobody ever knew that there were Indians in this area. Why? Because they didn't care. You know, nobody cares because, oh, they're not here anymore. Well, we're still here. You know, and the whole terms of Indio Pata Rajada, it comes from these missions cutting our ankles and cutting our feet to keep us down so that they could convert us. And a lot of those people were beheaded and killed and hung because they wouldn't convert. Because they maintained, those were the good leaders, those were the good people. But the rest of them that converted would look down at these people and call them, Indio Pata Rajada. So I'm proud to be one of those Indio Pata Rajadas. I don't mind that. Because those are the people that fought the hardest. And these battles, we've lost battles, a lot of battles, but the war's not over. Simple as that. We got to continue fighting and letting people know that we're still here and we still exist. You know, we've been here since first contact. You know, we still have our language. Spanish and English are foreign languages. They're not from this land. Comecrudan is from this land. This is the oldest language in Texas. It's older than the Yuto Aztecan. It's older than the Athabascan language. And we're still speaking it. And our language was recorded in 1886 in Camargo, which is just across the river here. So, go figure. You know, where are the Carrizos? You know, everybody decided to be something they're not anymore.
Unfortunately, we've reached the end of our show. With all the assaults happening physically, mentally, in every institution of our society against black and brown people, and in honor of the guy who snatched a MAGA hat off a racist kid and was kind of thrown under the bus by the Texas Green Party, we leave you with a reminder that it's okay to punch Nazis by Australian comedy troupe Fear of a Brown Planet. You can find them online on YouTube, where you can also find us as well, Houston Indie Media, and you can find us on Facebook and on radioforall.net. This is V, signing off and reminding everyone out there, don't hate the media, be the media. Peace.
And it all started, you know, it all started with that stupid Richard Spencer article, like, near the end of last year, right? It was like, oh, look at this dapper Nazi who doesn't dress the way we thought he would. Here's an in-depth interview where he gets to hear all of his f***ed up ideas in a mainstream media outlet, which then led to more interviews with other Nazis in mainstream media outlets. Mm-hmm. And then Richard Spencer got punched in the face, right? Which was an amazing moment in comedy history, right? Because, I don't know if you know, Richard Spencer was being interviewed, and in the interview he was asked about his Pepe the Frog badge. So he was trying to explain a meme, and then out of nowhere a hero came along and punched him in the face, instantly turning him into a meme. It's like casting a spell. And then every white liberal came out of the woodwork going, I don't know if that's what we should be doing. Should we really be applauding someone for punching a Nazi? Is that how we want to have political conversations? Shouldn't we hear people out? If you punch a Nazi, it doesn't make you as bad as one. You know what we should do with Nazis? We should debate them, and we should defeat them in the marketplace of ideas. I don't really know where that is. I would like to defeat Nazis on planet Earth first. And then after we eradicate them here, you can fight them in the marketplace of ideas. Fucking Narnia, Mordor. Whatever imaginary realm it is that you think Nazis can be constructively debated, go for it, right? People get very upset. Oh. Do you support political violence? Do you want me to support political... Just slow down, okay? Do I support political violence? We're talking about punching fascists in the face, not suicide bombing, okay? Relax. Why do I support political... Why the f*** are you a volunteer Nazi safety advocate is my question. That's a funny thing to be concerned about, the well-being of hypothetical Nazis. Well, it's a slippery slope. Who gets to decide who gets punched in the face? If you punch a Nazi, who's next? Hopefully more Nazis. Why would you Why would you only punch one? That doesn't seem right.
Nos dices que debemos sentarnos, pero las ideas solo pueden levantarnos, caminar, recorrer, no rendirse ni retroceder, ver, aprender como esponja absorbe. Nadie sobre todos, faltan todos, suman todos para todos, todo para nosotros. Soñamos en grande que se caiga el imperio, lo gritamos alto, no queda más remedio. Esto no es utopía, es salir de rebeldía, del baile de los que sobran, de la danza de mi mía. Levantarnos para decir ya vas. África ni América Latina se suba. Un barro con casco, con lápiz a patear el fiasco. Provocar un social terremoto en este charco. Mil veces venceremos, del cielo al suelo y del suelo al cielo vamos.